Hey, it's a week 15 NFL review and a Dolphins Steelers Monday night preview. Hi, welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast for Monday, December 15th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. I'm the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He's Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are going to get to the big injuries, the big games, plus a Monday night preview, all that stuff. Don't forget, if you watch us live, you can make comments or ask questions, and we'll take your questions. And we are brought to you by our friends at Underdog. If you want a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription, we have worked with Underdog to hook you up. You will get all the access to DVOA with all of the charting, so all the man versus zone and one high versus two high and different run concepts, plus all of our awesome fantasy and betting tools from FTN. You get it all when you sign up for Underdog with our link or code FTN and play your first $5. You will get $100 in bonus bets, plus a free month of FTN GOAT on us. Remember, sign up for Underdog, play your first $5, and our marketing team will be on the lookout to hook you up with a code for your free month of GOAT. Use code FTN. Terms apply. The biggest story of the week is injuries, I think, more than any of the results of the actual games, because of the fact that if you tear your ACL in week 15, it is probably going to affect your 2026 season. So obviously, Mahomes, I was saying to Mike right before we came on the air, when the Patriots game ended and everybody was in line to go down for the press conferences, everybody looked up, and that's when Mahomes tore his ACL. And everyone was like, oh my God. Like, because it's not just, you know, I mean, we've been talking about how incredible it is that the Chiefs will not make the playoffs this year and the bad luck that they've had and that they're not really that much worse than last year. Right. We've been talking about that for weeks. Right. Now the issue is, what if Mahomes misses the early part of next year and he's not the same, even when he comes back, he's not as mobile as he usually is because he's recovered from the ACL injury.
Yeah, and that's almost like two separate issues where you have these questions about, well, if the timetable is 10 months, 11 months, do you try to accelerate that? I think that would be foolish. Do you, what do you do at quarterback in training camp next year? Do you extend Minshew? Do you do something else? And to what degree are the Chiefs now actually playing for 2027? That's like this.
Yeah, I don't know if we're quite at that point. Bull said, 32 says, I would say the he's back to normal rate on ACLs is much better than the he won't be the same rate. Yes, right. But the question is, how long does it take to get back to normal? If you can return from an ACL injury in 8 months,
yeah,
what percentage are you at compared to if you have a whole year to return? Let's say you tear your ACL. Let's say like Tom Brady, who, by the way, mobility was not as much of a part of his game.
And let's say
you tear your ACL in week one.
One, yes.
That's very different from tearing it in week 15. But I do think Mahomes should be back for most of next year.
Yes.
And the Chiefs should be able to build a team that competes for next year. I don't think they're quite playing for 2027. But now you have to ask, does this affect Kelsey retiring? Does this affect free agency decisions? Like, there's a lot now going on with the Chiefs.
Right. And then you have to think a little tactically when you do things like that, because if you say, well, Kelsey's going to retire, perhaps as a result of this, Chris Jones might want to move on, whatever, then you are in like a soft reboot status.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that that's appropriate thing that they should be thinking about, saying, yeah, Mahomes is probably going to have this other window as being a champion. What's that window going to look like? The one thing you don't want to do is let's aim for September 15th and get him out there at 73% and not able to move. Like, that's disastrous.
Right. And then the more important injury for this year,
yes,
is Micah Parsons, because I think it was very clear when Micah Parsons went down that that was also an ACL injury. Whenever you see those non-contact injuries, they're usually an ACL or an Achilles, and they're very serious.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's the key that unlocked the Packers defense. The good news is the report this morning is that Christian Watson's injury is not major.
Right.
So Christian Watson should be back, if not this week, then in a week or two. So that's good. But the defense, it's a real problem. Obviously, Micah Parsons is one of the biggest dominoes in defense in the NFL. Yeah.
Let me get some numbers here. I pulled these from Sports Info Solution. Micah Parsons in pressures was second in the NFL in pressures. He had 74 pressures. On the Packers, 74 pressures for Micah Parsons, 39 for Rashawn Gary. No one else with more than 17 on that line. Then you get to Kingsley and Egbare and guys like Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt, who's hurt, also on that list. So you see this domino effect where it's like you don't just step up to replace that. And you're talking about a Packers team that's in second place that faces the Bears on Saturday night and is now looking at this season where they're almost certainly, I think they're almost guaranteed a wild card berth, but what does it mean beyond that?
And the Bears who look much better now.
Yes.
The last few weeks, especially this week when I put this out on the social media, the Browns had the 11th worst single game in DVOA history.
And that's stunning. Because I watched that Raiders game in its entirety, and if you told me that was the 11th worst, I'd be like, yep.
I think it's because of turnovers. I don't think the Raiders turned the ball over, but also the Browns had an 8% offensive success rate in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
They had a 48% success rate in the fourth quarter. In the first three quarters, 8%.
It was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was three and out. Then they got a couple first downs on the drive. Then it was like three and out again. And it didn't look good doing it.
Bo Nix looked really good. I have a hard time figuring out how good Bo Nix is. He seems like he's a different quarterback this year than he was last year. Last year, he was a different quarterback in the second half of the season than he was in the first half of the season. Yeah. They've got some talented skill players. Harvey was able to run the ball a little bit. The Broncos offense, that's probably as good as it looks, right, for the Broncos offense. And they're going to be the number one seed. We have them now over 80% to win the one seed.
Wow. Yes, that's as good as it looks. And, you know, it seems like he has been steadily improving. You know, all these broad-based things, it's like, well, he gets the fall downfield a little bit better. Oh, he avoids sacks a little bit better. Oh, there's a little more consistency little by little. There seems to be this like meme where like Bo Nix will never ever be taken seriously by some people. I don't know where that comes from, but like he's not a top five quarterback or anything, but top 15. Why is that so unbelievable for people to accept?
I think part of it is because he comes from that class where everybody felt like the top three were the best three, and then the top three. You know, Williams is playing well and May is an MVP candidate and Daniels was an MVP candidate last year. And so Nick was sort of like trailing those guys. And then there was the whole idea that all he did was throw short passes, which I think has been disproven over time.
Yeah.
The Broncos are pretty good. I mean, the fact is that the league is very imbalanced this year, especially now that the Colts have, you know, fallen apart and lost Daniel Jones. They were the best team in the AFC by DVOA.
Right.
So now all the best teams are NFC teams. I mean, I think who are the top five teams in the league, you probably would be like Rams, Seahawks, Lions, Packers.
Eagles, maybe.
Like the Bills, obviously, right? We'll talk about the Bills. The Bills looked, you know, very good in the second half yesterday. They may be the best team in the AFC, but they're still likely to go on the road. The Patriots are still 62% to win the division. So the Bills are still likely to have to go on the road and win three times in the playoffs. The Texans and Jaguars are tough. But I don't think as good as those top NFC teams. I think the biggest lesson from the game yesterday from the Bills-Patriots is everybody, and that includes me, even though I'm usually the one who's like, don't get, you know, comebacks happen a lot more than you think in the NFL. Don't write games off after one half. Really, don't write games off after one half. Comebacks happen. And the Patriots were running all over the Bills, and then the second half came, and they couldn't. And once they couldn't, it was like third long, and then they couldn't get anything going. And then the Bills were like five straight touchdown drives. The Patriots defense is the unit that is overrated by the schedule. Plus, they were missing Milton Williams and Robert Spillane. So the Bills were just like right up the middle over and over again.
Right, which is a wonder why the Bills didn't start the game like that. But they never start the games like that. They're always trying to score 8 touchdowns on their opening drive and win, and they usually wind up behind like this. As I wrote and I was talking about, it's like I realized, oh, I'm writing the Bills off in the first half. I did that last week against the Bengals. We did that week 1 against the Ravens. It's a consistent Bills problem that they keep digging little graves for themselves. But they do crawl out of them pretty consistently.
The problem is what happens when they get to the playoffs. Can they dig little graves for themselves on the road in 3 straight weeks?
Against the Texans. Against
like the Texans, right.
Right, right, which we already saw what that looks like. By the way, shout out to Jeff at the bar who took the Bills plus 525 at halftime.
Very nice.
Right, so he didn't write them off. Money where the mouth is.
Yeah. Bowles 32 says the Texans have the league's best defense by most stats. They're second by DVOA behind Seattle. And the offense is finding the footing, but they will be on the road, it seems. My biggest fear as a Patriots fan is that it's going to be a 2-7 matchup with the Texans. Oh, I would much prefer a 2-7 matchup with the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. Are the Texans in any position?
We still have the Texans at like 40% to win their division.
Yeah.
They're only a game behind the Jaguars, and the Jaguars do have to play the Broncos next week.
Texans have Raiders, Chargers, Colts coming up, and that seems like there's 2 wins and a very winnable game against a team with no offensive tackles. That should be that's a very good potential 3-0 for the Texans to come out there. But and they have a split. I thought they had a sweep of the Jaguars, but that's a split. So,
I think that we have the Texans at like 40% now to win that division. So it's not necessarily that the Texans are going on the road. And if the Texans end up with a home game in the first round and the Bills are on the road in the first round, I think the Texans might be become the AFC favorites behind the Broncos. Right. I mean, the Broncos will be the one seed. They're kind of the AFC favorites.
Right. And you'll get a little bit of the bye week and the mile high factor that would help the Broncos.
Meanwhile, I said the Rams, Seahawks, we talk about the best teams. The Rams and Seahawks, this shocked me after yesterday's game that the Seahawks went up in DVOA.
Wow.
The Rams and Seahawks are essentially tied for first place.
Is it because of an opponent adjustment for the Colts, as if the Colts are
part of that? Is, yes. The part of it is the opponent adjustment for the Colts is based on that first half of the year with Daniel Jones, not this week with Phillip Rivers. The Seattle offense has gone from 20.9% to, since week 10, minus 1.1.
Not surprising.
That offense is struggling, which is going to be a real problem because the Rams are firing on all cylinders. The defense didn't do everything right against the Lions, but the offense absolutely did. The Lions defense is definitely missing the guys. All the injuries that they've had. Puka Nacua is now second in receiving value to Smith Najigba, and it's close.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of shocking.
Right.
That's how efficient Nacua has been, even though Jackson Smith Najigba has been efficient and has all the huge totals.
Right.
The Rams, I'm not that worried about this Davante Adams hamstring thing.
I think it's an issue for Thursday, certainly because it's a Thursday night game. But I don't know moving forward. He's been bothered by that hamstring for weeks. So,
yeah. But the Rams and Seahawks look like the two best teams, but the Rams look like the better team, because the Seahawks offense is having some problems.
Right. And I looked at that Rams-Lions game, and I was like, here's a game where Amon-Ra St. Brown is going ham. Jameson Williams is making big plays. Aiden Hutchinson is making big plays. Defense got a couple stops. Goff in the first half was playing pretty darn well. And then you get to the middle of the third quarter, and with all that going right for the Lions, they're down by 10 points. The Lions, with their playmakers playing like they're down by 10 points. And yet, it's Puka, but it's also that offense, that 3 tight end offense. Colby Parkinson, who I wrote about 2 weeks ago, folks. Got to read the 2 Deep Zone. I did a little thing on Parkinson. Yes, coming through because Higbee's been out for a couple of weeks.
The Rams offensive line also, I know we don't talk about them very much. The Rams are number 1 in adjusted line yards with a record challenging level of adjusted line yards. The amount of 5 and 6 yard runs that that team gets. Just steady running, steady running.
Steady running. That's the tight ends as well, with all that 13 personnel spreading everything out, all those those extra gaps that the opposing defenders have to deal with. I want to see that offense. Bring that offense to Philadelphia. Bring that offense someplace. I want to see it.
Big Cheese 77 says the Packers are somehow favorites at Soldier Field next Saturday, even before taking into account the Parsons injury. That just doesn't sound logical. If you don't account for the Parsons injury, it is absolutely logical.
Yes.
The Packers are like 10 spots ahead of the Bears in DVOA.
Right.
Once you take into account the Parsons injury, the fact that it's on the road in Chicago plus the Parsons injury, I think I would favor the Bears a little bit.
I would favor the Bears. And again, if we look at the DVOA rankings, the Bears have all that early season stuff still in there. And all those one score wins over the Raiders still in there. And it's pretty clear that the team has developed since that.
Yes, it definitely has. The running game obviously was not that good in the first month. The running game is much better now.
Yes.
But the Packers are, I mean, the Packers are inconsistent, but at their best, they're great. Mm-hmm. And if Watson is ready to play, I mean, it's not crazy to me that they're favored, but I would favor the Bears because of the Parsons injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not, the Bears are still not great this year. The Packers look much more, with Parsons at least, looked like a team that was going to be challenging for the Super Bowl.
Who is your, well, maybe you can't tell me, who's your coach of the year selection?
It's tough. I think with a couple weeks left, I can probably talk about it a little bit. I think McDonald.
Ooh, okay.
Because Seattle is so good at the thing that is McDonald's thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Right? If you think about, right, they're so good on defense, and he's the defensive guy.
Yes.
But you also have to consider McVay.
Yeah, you really do have to consider McVay, don't you?
And I do think you have to consider Vrabel, and you have to consider who's the favorite right now. And yes, I think you have to consider Steichen.
Johnson.
And Ben Johnson, absolutely. It's Coach of the Year is always very difficult to do.
You know how it works. You don't have to consider McVay. McVay doesn't count for whatever reason, even though he's...
The argument...
Yeah,
McDonald is partly Seattle's much better than we expected, but it's partly they're so good on his side of the ball. Well, right. Look at the Rams.
Yes,
the Rams offense is kicking ass, and they're kicking ass by doing new things. That's coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, he's not like the flavor of the month, so you don't have to vote for him, man. That's how it works. Yeah,
Matthew Carley says, "Do I have no love for Shanahan keeping the night?" No, that's another good candidate, right? Good choice. Like Shanahan, it's a hard. This is a hard award,
right?
It's a hard award. You could go the three. This is no. I mean, no disrespect to Johnson and Vrabel. You could go the three NFC West guys. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not, if you're wagering, and I don't recommend that, and Aaron's got to tap out here, don't go for like the super established coach. It's just never how it goes.
I will say one of my first thoughts about Mahomes was, well, you could just put your comeback player of the year 2026 bets down now.
right. I might as well. It's just like minus.
If he comes, as long as he comes back by mid-October, how do you not end up with Mahomes as the comeback player of the year next year, right?
I just noticed that Philip Rivers is plus 500 right now for comeback player of the year. I don't know. He's not eligible. He didn't leave due to an injury. But I wouldn't recommend wagering that in any case.
Operatic says, isn't it a relief to be arguing about which coach is the best instead of which is the least worst? Yeah, I happen to think there's a lot of really good coaching in the NFL. Like even the bad teams. I don't know if Aaron Glenn is doing a particularly bad job given for New York. And is Carroll the problem in Vegas, or is it the players that they put together?
Those aren't the two examples.
Saying even the bad coaches aren't really that bad.
Well, I mean, Carroll's a legend who looks like he comes back and like this is the poop show he's surrounded in. Glenn was given nothing to work with, but man, the messaging that comes out of Glenn and the the sort of weekly like emotional roller coaster stuff. I'm not, but Kellen Moore's doing good, I think. Mike McDaniel has come around.
Yeah, look at the Saints sweeping the Panthers.
Yes, yeah, sweeping.
And Mike McDaniel is absolutely not losing his job. We'll talk about that in a minute.
What's
going on with the Dolphins? The Jets did just fire Steve Wilks. They just fired their defensive coordinator. Jets defense this year has been tremendously bad.
It's almost as if two of their best players were traded away.
But they were tremendously bad before they traded those guys.
Yeah, but like you expect them to get better. So, gee, Steve Wilks, it didn't improve.
Yeah, we traded Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, and now our defense will improve would be a take.
Yes. Daddy, what's an interception?
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. They have something like, not counting yesterday, they have something like 36 passes defense with no interception. I've never seen anything like that.
No, the randomosity of that. At some point, something gets batted in the air.
At some point, you defense a pass and it bounces into the arms of somebody.
Yes, yeah, that's just how it goes.
There were no reverse post-game win expectancy games this week.
Not even on Thursday night?
Thursday night is the closest.
Who was the closest one?
Thursday night was the closest. Atlanta, 61%. Atlanta had so many penalties, including declined and offsetting. They had 22 penalties. But they outperformed Tampa Bay in DVOA actual efficiency enough that they would still be favored to win the game more than Tampa Bay would be. So no reverse post-game win expectancy this week. Here is the weighted DVOA top 12. This is the weighted, okay? Bills actually down one spot to 12.
Really?
Because what was the reason for that? San Francisco down one spot to 11. And the reason for that is Philadelphia up two spots to 10.
Okay.
Because Las Vegas had less than 2 yards of play.
Right. A beating at that level, that was a practice. That was a practice. And Eagles fans were slightly excited about it, but that was a practice.
Kansas City still 9, but with a big asterisk, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to be talking about Kansas City among the best. Even now, if the season ended today, Kansas City would not be one of the top dozen DVOA teams to ever miss the playoffs. But right. We're really not going to be talking about that once we get 3 weeks of Minshew.
Couple weeks of Minshew, and I don't know what Chris Jones's status is.
I would think at this point anybody on the Chiefs who even remotely has an injury is sitting. Jacksonville 8. Green Bay down two spots to 7.
A little bit of an asterisk there too, of course.
Denver 6.
Hanging in there.
Houston up two spots to 5.
That was a beating, but whenever you beat the Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett makes sure he gets his little fantasy bomb at the end of the game.
Yeah, that Arizona's offensive DVOA went up because they did that against Houston. Brissett had got his bomb.
Right. And he did. It was almost close at some point in the fourth quarter. But if you look at the last couple games, Niners fans, you can nod along at this. It's like, boy, in the fourth quarter, the Cardinals really come around to get the over.
Indianapolis 4. That's still, you know, well, drop.
Yeah, and a big game against Seattle, a tough game.
Detroit 3.
It's really to be the degree to which they're underachieving, even if you account for injuries, isn't really being talked about.
Yeah, they're not. Obviously, their record doesn't match DVOA.
Right.
You know, they're probably one of the best 8-6 teams, but they're 8-6.
Yeah, and then you start looking at, okay, well, that was the Rams. You lost to the Vikings before McCarthy sort of figured out which way was forward. It's something to talk about as we
– And then a gap of over 15%.
Before the top two.
Which are Seattle moved slightly ahead of the Rams because of intricacies of the formula, but basically they are tied.
Wow, even after yesterday, Seattle stays in that –
It probably has to do with weeks 1 and 2 and what the weights are for different weeks.
And like you said, the Colts and the Colts backlog of data that comes in and says that was a better win than it looked like on the field, which it did not look good on the field.
Air Nate says, how far did the Pats drop? The Pats are now 17th in DVOA and 16th in weighted.
Wow. And where are the Bears?
16th in regular DVOA and I think like 15th in weighted.
They're like twinsies. They're twinsies.
Yeah, they really are twinsies. The Panthers are much worse than either of them.
Oh, that wasn't a post game with an expectancy flip flop.
No, that wasn't. No.
Oh my god. That's an indictment of the Panthers.
No, the Saints. Yeah, Saints outplayed them. Saints outplayed them. That wasn't luck. Saints outplayed them. Monday Night Football: 6-7 Dolphins at the 7-6 Steelers. The Dolphins are basically out. Even if they win this game, the Dolphins' playoff odds are 0.1%.
Okay, that's because we got Chargers win, and the
other teams in the AFC are just too far ahead of them. Like they would have to win out, and then some other team would have to lose out, and then the way tiebreakers work, it's just not
right. There's no room at the end at this point when you have the Jaguars.
It didn't help that the Chargers won.
Chargers won, Texans won, Jaguars won, Bills won. Push that wild card. I see how it happened. Yeah.
And the Steelers win the division 72% when they win, mm-hmm. and 56% when they lose.
Okay.
So they're still favored. If they lose tonight, they're still favored to win the division.
Okay.
But here's the amazing thing about the Dolphins. Their offense goes from 25th to 18th if you go from regular DVOA to weighted.
Yeah.
Their defense goes from 21st to 14th. Since week 10, they are 7th on offense and 2nd on defense.
2nd on defense?
I looked specifically. The Dolphins are 28th against short passes this year.
Okay.
But since week 10, they are 6th.
Okay.
And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can do the deep thing in 2 straight games. That was wild that he did it once.
Right, and it was like 4th rows too, you know, which I guess that's all you need for a deep game. But like,
I mean, the Dolphins, the fact that their defense is playing so well with no secondary at all is remarkable.
Yeah, and I'm looking, and yeah, there's some Mariota in there. There's some Shuck in there. There's some Brady Cook in it, but there's also some Josh Allen in there.
It's adjusted for all that. And right. Yeah, Allen didn't play well against them.
Right, Allen didn't play well against them. I've seen how well, like, their running game now looks like that vintage when the Dolphins were fun running game, where Achane is, you know, guys are going in motion 5 different directions, and Achane.
Oh, yeah, with, like, Daniel Brunskill playing fullback and stuff. And the Dolphins are great with explosive runs, and right. They're great with zone-blocked runs. And if you look at FTN Stats Hub, the Steelers' defense is much better against man-blocked runs than zone-blocked runs. I will say the Steelers are 4th against running backs as receivers, so that would take away some of the Achane goodness.
Yeah, and they like using him in that screen game. It's just, I'm thinking about that Steelers' run defense, and I'm taking T.J. Watt out of the equation. He's out this week. And, like, that's not a good matchup for the Steelers on defense.
The line is Steelers -3, and it's in Pittsburgh. But, man, I'm hard on the Dolphins.
If it wasn't so darn cold out, I'd go for the Dolphins.
He won last week.
It was Brady Cook.
It's true, but he did win his first game in cold temperatures.
Yeah, that's not enough. That's not enough
that's
for
not
me.
That's not enough. You're still going
not
Steelers.
Enough for me. Right.
I think the running also, the fact that it's not going to really be in Tua's hands, the fact that it's probably they're going to win this game with the run.
Yeah.
Especially because the linebackers are having problems for the Steelers this year. And
yes.
If you get past that first level and now you've got Achane on the second level, he's so good with the second level and the old open field yards. And this is a good defense to get that against, I think.
All right. All right, you're going Dolphins, and I'm going Steelers.
All right, that does it for today's show. Thank you to everyone watching. Thank you to everyone listening. Please like, subscribe to the show. Tell your friends about the show. We'll be back Thursday to preview Week 16. This will be the last Thursday show for a couple of weeks because there'll be Wednesday the following couple of weeks because of the holidays. And an extra added bonus, if you want more of me, I'm doing Mina Kimes this week.
Oh, awesome.
So I'll be previewing Week 16 with Mina Kimes on her show on Thursday. So, I mean, we record it Wednesday. I think it gets released on Thursday. Awesome. So you get lots of extra me this week. All right, MikeTenier.substack.com. Check it out. FTN Stats Hub. Check that out, too. We'll talk to you Thursday. So long, everyone.